It's football and other F words, and Mike is back off the beach, that lazy asshole. But it was all right because I had one, I thought one of the best episodes really that has ever been done under the football and other F words banners with Michelle Knezovic. If you guys missed it, because it did come in late last week, Friday evening is when it came out. So go over to YouTube, watch it there, because what you're going to see and what we're going to talk about, what you're going to see is me give her the floor and tell her I am not going to interrupt her whatsoever. And then 3 minutes, not even 3 minutes, I think like 30 seconds in, you can see my face on the YouTube channel when the Hassan Haskins news broke. And I'm like, and I wanted to interrupt. And I was like, nope, I said I wasn't going to do it. So I didn't interrupt. So YouTube channel for Broadway Sports, 440 Sports, wherever you consume it, go watch it on video. Go listen to the episode. It was really fantastic. As I said, Mike's back, but we are brought to you by Bluegrass Beverages. And Bluegrass Beverages, not your average wine, spirits, and beer store. They've been servicing the Hendersonville community since 1973. That is older, way older than both me and Mike. And they recently remodeled their space to offer an even better service to their clients with a slogan like, we're always in good spirits, which I really like. We're always in good spirits. You know you're in for a treat. Bluegrass Beverages is founded with the goal of bringing unique wine and spirits to the people of Hendersonville and Sumner County, and even you out-of-towners who have shitty-ass little liquor stores. Whether you're stocking your home bar, planning a party, or just looking for that special drink you've been dying to try, Bluegrass Beverages got you covered. When it comes to great spirits, Bluegrass Beverages is the MVP. Don't miss out on the winning combination of customer service and fantastic selections. So join us in raising a glass, saying cheers to Bluegrass Beverages. Visit their website at bluegrassbeverages.com to join their B.O.B. Club, Best of Bluegrass, to be the first to get their exclusive offerings. Whew. All right, Mike, you can follow him on Twitter at Mike Herndon NFL. Are you, do you have a article coming out at paulkarski.com this week, or are you still on
sabbatical? I don't. I'm taking a 2 week hiatus. I'll be back in it. I'll be back at it next week. So,
well, go subscribe to paulkarski.com either way, just so you can make sure that you have all the information you need for future Mike Herndon articles. And then also stackintheinbox.com. $4 a month will get you a lot of content, backdated content, audio, video. It doesn't matter. All the content on there, except for Stony stuff, which cost you $5.08 a month. I think that is it. Okay, I think I got it all out there right there. Because I want to get it pretty quick, because I want to get into, there's a lot that happened. And yeah. We talked about in our little text to prepare for the show, which we like, is like one message of, okay, here's what we're talking about. Yep. That's how much we prepare for this show. Yeah, sounds good. But there is something I want to touch on first before we get into all this stuff, because we're going to be talking about NPF, Hassan Haskins, Charles London's past game philosophy. We're going to talk about what's going on in sports media. We're going to talk about how we should really view and discuss overrated and underrated players in our market. I got a little beef with you, and you don't know where this is going to go, so I kind of like that you don't know where this is going to go.
Secret beef. All right.
Secret beef. The Predators have made a lot of moves, okay? They've signed a few old guys, and they have made moves that signal a complete rebuild, but they also they tried to trade Matt Duchene, but they couldn't get any takers, it seems like, and then they just cut him because they just don't like him. He's not a fit for the future. And you put out some tweets that are counterintuitive to what you have been saying the Titans need in the wide receiver room. And I want to get into it because I think I've always said that I don't care that there's not a veteran presence. I think the veteran presence is overrated. And you contend the Titans' young pass catchers need a veteran presence. And then here is a tweet from you, and you had several tweets like it, but this is the one I bookmarked. Exactly. I'm just not sure what sage advice these guys are going to impart. They'll be more valuable than a younger, skilled player who fits their new timeline. Also, isn't sage advice what you hired a coach for? That last line sounds a little familiar that you disagreed with. So why is the Nashville Predators different than the Tennessee Titans?
The difference is I get the whole, like, You know, the old guy showing him the ropes, showing him how to be a pro, all that. I get that. Like, I totally understand the value of that. I don't understand the value of signing fucking three of them and paying them all decent money and cutting Matt Duchene to do it. Like, was Matt Duchene that fucking horrible of a dude in that locker room? That
I mean, they're telling you that he is. I mean, they've even pretty much came out and said it with their words. I mean,
yeah, Trotz apparently just fucking hates Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson. But I mean, Johansson, I get, because Johansson was no longer productive. But Duchene was still productive. Like, he was still putting up points. He was still scoring goals. He's like one season removed from like the best scoring season of any Nashville Predators player in the history of the franchise. So what I don't understand is we have to get rid of them and we have to go sign three of these old dudes to come in and like,
but isn't the point to have like an old dude on every line, I guess. And maybe that's not a good point to have, but it, you know, I don't necessarily and also, know enough to say whether these signings are good or not. I'm just here to contend that I said the exact same thing that you said about this wide receiver room.
The other distinction here is I've never advocated for them to go sign like a 33-year-old, like, who's a good example? Jarvis Landry. I never advocated for them to go get Jarvis Landry just because they needed an old head in the room, in the wide receiver room. I wanted them to go get a guy that was still productive and could be that like older voice leader, all that stuff. So you kind of need to be both. And I think Ryan O'Reilly probably can do it. And maybe Shin can too, but Nyquist, I don't know. It felt like it was overkill. It felt like it was Trotz going like, you know what we need? We just need all these like grit and grind guys and all this. When he talked all offseason about, we're going to go get, you know, more skill and we're going to get faster and we're going to be young and all this stuff. So I don't know. I wasn't crazy about how they spent their money.
I just thought it was a little interesting. Just a little beef that, you know, eventually everybody comes to my way of thinking. All right. That's all I got from this.
They gave Ryan O'Reilly 4 years. He's 33 years old and he's clearly already declining. They gave him 4 years, and unlike NFL contracts, all of these are fully guaranteed. So they've got to pay it whether he sucks or not. And if he starts to decline more, he'll become an untradeable asset and they'll be buying him out like they did Duchene in a few years. So
to be honest, the Predators do have a job opening up for a data analyst. I saw it on teamworkonline.com, but they have a job opening for data analysts that will help with their salary cap and contract negotiations. I thought that was pretty interesting. I had the prerequisite MBAs and master degrees you apparently have to have to understand the hockey salary cap, I'd almost do it. But I will say this. I've never heard of the Predators ever having so many team meetings, as many as they've had since Duchene was signed. So I just want to throw that out there. I don't know if it's a totally just Barry Trotz hates Duchene. I think maybe I bet some of the players that they are wanting to keep, like Philip Forsberg and all this stuff, you know, those guys they want to keep happy, kind of think that maybe they all probably hate him too.
Yeah, I'm guessing maybe in those initial interviews with Trotz, they were all like, hey, by the way, fuck these guys. Like, let's get rid of
them. What do you think about Matt Duchene? Fuck him.
Yeah, I hate him. Can we get rid of him?
All right, let's start with NPF because I feel like this one has probably been the topic that's been beaten most to death. But it's a larger problem of it feels really weird that two stories like this came out back-to-back about the Titans locker room, which is really odd. But we can venture to say, or I think it's a safe bet, and I've said this last week, that the Titans knew about this around June 5th. Like, I think they've known this is coming down the pipeline for a little bit now. I just the way that they kind of, NPF kind of got out there talking about gambling before he even got suspended about gambling, this feels like there was a little damage control or something was happening. I want to get your take because I talked about this on Monday's Stack in the Inbox with the show for paid subscribers. It was actually yesterday's, the Independence Day. Because I want independence from this take that the Titans are somehow bear any close to resembling top-tier blame on this. Where do you put all, how do you rank the blame? Like I did, for instance, and you don't have to use the agent, but I put like NPF, is the clear number one. And then you're talking several tiers down is like, I kind of put the blame on the agent and then the NFLPA because they're both responsible for informing their players to make correct decisions. I guess, you could substitute financial advisor for agent if you want to, but they should be, there are people, the agent's job just, it doesn't stop at, okay, you got a contract, see in 4 years. You know what I'm saying? Like they have extra stuff. And yeah. Then a few tiers down is the NFL, and the few tiers down even more is the team. How do you rank them?
Yeah, I think it's to me, it's not really on the team because it's an isolated incident, right? Like if they were the Lions who had, four or five guys that ended up getting popped for this thing, or even the Colts who I think had either two or three, then – sure, you put more blame on the team and say, okay, there was enough guys that did not know what the rules were that it clearly was not addressed. But this is the only guy on the team who did not hear or understand, hey, you can't bet on anything in the facility. Or chose to ignore. Maybe he was texting his bookie while they were having that that conversation in the team meeting or whatever. But if it was widespread, 100%, I'd say, all right, team need to do a better job communicating. If it's one guy, I'm far more likely to blame the guy than the other, than the team who had zero issues out of 89 guys and one issue out of one guy. You know, that to me, it falls on Nicholas Petit-Frere really like almost solely to me, like that point, it is his fault. Everyone else got it. He didn't get it. He has to, take the brunt of the punishment and the blame here. Like that, it's cut and dry to me.
And people are like, well, the team should have known that he was struggling with this, the understanding of the rules, and should take an extra precaution just for NPF. And I'm like, how is he supposed to know? I mean, how's the team supposed to know? Because you know what happens at these meetings. I mean, we've all been in employee meetings like this, right? The HR meetings or whatever, explaining a new product or explaining a new process. Does everybody understand? Yep. Any questions? Nope. They go about their day. That's just how and guess what? There are people who don't understand the process, who don't understand the product, who continue to ask questions if they don't understand something, or they screw up because they didn't pay attention and they didn't ask. I don't understand how you can sit here and blame the team.
There's also a lot of people in those settings that will sit there and not have any fucking clue what you're talking about and not say anything because they just want to get out of the meeting. That's also a big thing that happens. So, yeah.
He's too smart of a guy to not have understood. Like, it's hard for me to reconcile. I will say this. I can understand that maybe he missed something because he looked at his phone. We all do that, right? Like, so maybe he missed something. But if I contend that if I see a guy like Calvin Ridley gets suspended for a full year for gambling on a game while he's on injured reserve at home, and he gets, I'm going to find out and figure out everything I can't do. And in fact, NPF says in the interview at the Tennessean when he was talking about gambling back on June 5th, I don't know if they really explained everything correctly. I mean, I asked a lot of questions. I asked questions about fantasy football. Well, sounds like you weren't paying attention or you're asking the wrong kind of fucking questions if you're asking about fantasy football in a gambling seminar. Like, we got to get real here. One way or the other, in my opinion, it's like 98% NPF and you could parse the 2% between everybody else. It's ridiculous. And I contend that we're talking about less than 0.4% of players have been suspended for gambling so far. That means at least 99.6% of players understand it. This to me harkens back to when Taylor Lewan got busted for PEDs, and on this particular podcast, we said, how can you be in a situation like that several years into the league and not get your stuff tested and not know what you can and can't have at this point? And how can you fail a drug test when they tell you when the drug test is several days in advance? Like, that to me is where I just draw the line. And I think that everybody saw that a player spoke bad about the NFL. And so everybody's like, oh, well, it has to be the NFL's fault because the player said so. Like, that's just not how the world works, people. It's not the NFL's fault just because the player said so. It's the player's responsibility and fault to not know the rules. If you broke a rule at your employee of record, they would, and that had cause to fire you or suspend you or send you home without pay, it is your fault. Like, it's just your fault.
Yeah. I mean, and look, that goes for like when you get hired at a company and they give you the big fucking manual that has all the corporate, you know, rules and regulations and, you know, insurance information, all that shit. I know some people don't read that. I know that's true. But you're still responsible for it, whether you read it or not, because they have given you the information and asked you to read it. So, and it's just like...
And a lot of places now ask you to sign it. Like, well, I had the fitness business down in Nashville before I sold it, I had people, I said, before we do any of your payroll stuff, you have to read this employee handbook, and read it through, and you have to sign it.
Yeah.
And I gave them time to do it. They didn't have to do it in front of me. I said, you can take this home, read it, whatever. And if they sign it, and then I'd have people not follow the rules, and I'd say, too bad, you did not follow this particular rule. It's right here. Yeah. Well, I didn't know that. Well, it's right there.
You signed it. Yeah. And you signed it right here. Yeah. And I mean, it's the same with like laws. Like when you enter a new state, you're responsible for knowing that state's laws. I mean, you know, people don't do that, but it's not going to matter when you get pulled over by the cops, right? Like you're responsible for knowing the law wherever you are.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Okay. The other guy whose situation is just an insane situation where, according to Teron Davenport on 102.5 Friday, he was on Stillman and Company. There are two different charges apparently with Hassan Haskins. So there's one with the strangle, with the strangulation, and then there's a later one with the gun and knife altercation that happened apparently at the most overrated steakhouse in Nashville, Bourbon Steak. It's not very good. So the to me, it's like you got now two different instances, according to Teron Davenport, and allegedly is guilty of strangulation, allegedly is guilty of brandishing a gun and cocking it and all that kind of stuff. You know, she's allegedly, you know, took out a knife to threaten to cut his tires and then allegedly liked a picture on Instagram, you know, very harsh stuff from her end. And here we are. The Titans still haven't made a move. And I'm not surprised that they haven't made a move because they didn't make a move with Rashad Weaver either. But this one seems very extreme, very both sides are guilty. But are we really going to say self-defense for someone threatening to go cut a tire? Like, I'm just not here for the Hassan Haskins saga that's going to lead into training camp that should be easily fixable. He's a very good special teamers, but that's about it. Yeah. He's a third round pick. You can cut him and you can save a fourth round pick. Yes. You can save him a little bit of money and you're not going to lose anybody of value for your team. True value.
Yeah. This does not fucking matter to the 2023 Titans or any team, you know, after,
I don't get why this Tennessee team is kicking its feet on this. Because, I mean, if you look, I hate to give the Colts any credit. They cut someone, you know, for the gambling. They cut two people, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, they instantly cut those guys. Now, they were different because they were gambling on Colts games, which was a totally different situation than the MBF situation. And obviously totally different than what we're talking about here. But I think they should get rid of Haskins too. I mean, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that, like, I'm sure the team wants to talk to him. They probably want to talk to his girlfriend or whatever she is to him now. They probably want to talk to law enforcement, see what information they've got, talk to the officers. So I will give them the grace of the time. Like, obviously this broke, like, when did it break? It broke while I was in Florida. So
it broke Friday on the show.
Friday. So I mean, it was a holiday weekend. I would say give them to the end of this week. And if it turns out that there's not like some huge misunderstanding in this, or that she made it all up, or, you know, that there's anything to this, they should cut him immediately by the end of this week, in my opinion. I'll give them the time to fully vet it out and investigate, because they owe him that, right? Like, you know, if somebody makes an allegation or whatever, you're owed your opportunity to, say your piece and whatnot. But beyond that, they don't owe him anything. Cut him. Julius Chestnut can take his roster spot and do the fucking same thing. Like, I feel like Haskins and Chestnut to me were like right there, like even about the whole time last year anyways. Like, Haskins is a little better pass catcher. He's a little better special teams guy, but Chestnut's probably a better runner. Just put fucking Julius Chestnut in a spot and like, let's move on. Cause we're talking about a role that's not going to play any offensive snaps. You're basically just a special teams guy and a Derrick Henry.
Yeah, you're talking like at best. Yeah. You're talking like at best, like maybe 5 offensive snaps.
Yeah. If Derrick Henry got hurt, you would see Julius Chestnut and Tyjae Spears platoon, probably to handle most of the backfield, with Spears being the heavier split of those two. We're not talking about anybody that's important in a serious way to this 2023 team. So cut him, move on. It's a good chance for you to be the bigger team or bigger man here, whatever you want to say. And I do think it's also different than the Rashad Weaver situation, that Weaver, what he's accused of, while it's terrible, he's accused of what, pushing a girl down at a bar. Mm. That's way, way, way less than like strangling a girl, brandishing a weapon at a girl. Like that's a totally different level of violence from what Weaver is accused of doing. So that's why I think Weaver's still on the team, is because like, while it's bad, it's not like, you know, he's Hannibal Lecter or anything like that, right? So I think Haskins, certainly, if any of this turns out to be true, or they think it is, cut him. Just move on.
I guess my thing is that we saw them keep Todd Downing for an entire year with the DUI. You know, it doesn't seem like they move very fast on this type of situation, unless it was Isaiah Wilson. Like, if you are some kind of contributor, it seems like you get a pass a little bit from this team. And this to me is just as bad as Isaiah Wilson, because Isaiah Wilson was, he did commit a crime, but he was endangering himself and whoever may be driving at like 4 a.m. in the morning, you know, down Charlotte Avenue when he's doing those donuts. But there's a lot that he did that was just him destroying his own life. And these are two adults that are in a obvious toxic relationship, if it's gotten to the point where he flies off the handle over an Instagram like, which is the craziest thing. That, I mean, if you're that paranoid, you do not need to be in a relationship whatsoever, in my opinion. Like, you have anger management problems if your first instinct is to throw her onto a bed, strangle her, and do what Teron Davenport was describing from the police report on Steelman and Company on Friday. It's ridiculous. And he obviously has mental and anger issues that it's going to be really hard for anybody, I feel like, in this fan base to really be like, a-okay with him being on the roster, unless it comes out that there is video evidence and he's completely innocent. None of that stuff happened, right? Like, because right,
exactly. I mean, that's the one thing that, like, I feel like, If that's the case, then sure, keep him around. But otherwise, get rid of his ass.
Yeah. This kind of brings us to what's going on with the Titans season. And is it already doomed? Does it already now, like, okay, there's a little hope, right? That, okay, maybe they're going to get DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know if you heard or not, but they are one of the two favorites for the DeAndre Hopkins sweepstakes. Great reporting. So glad that these reporters can't get any new information, that they just have to regurgitate the same old. But do you feel like this is a little bit more a foreshadowing of what's to come? Or do you think maybe, because there's an apparent rumor that we can expect some more bad news? This comes from Tyler Rowland, Roiland Rallin, a Tic Tac Titans, he put out a tweet and also said in his podcast that he kind of expects some more bad news either today or later this week. But is this a foreshadowing of how this season is going to be? Or is this going to be kind of like the COVID season where they end up, you know, going crazy and, you know, beating the Bills after all these COVID allegations and all these people talking about they're going to be stripped of draft picks and all that stuff and end up having a good season? Like, what are your feelings? Like, because I don't think NPF is a lot better than what people want to give him credit for, because they just have to shit all over him. But I also don't think that that the level of offensive line play at right tackle between him and maybe someone on the roster or someone in free agency is like this harbinger of doom that this team can't make it through six games. I'm not saying like 4-2 or 5-1, but like I could see them going 3-3 or 2-4 and still be okay long term.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll say this, that first six is the hardest six on the schedule, right? Like that is the tough period. So, you know, maybe you can make an argument that like, hey, you're going to lose those games anyways, and maybe you get them back and you can win against some of these shitty teams they play down the stretch. I do think like NPF is an important loss, just in the fact that like, hey, he was your only starting lineman that was back out of that last year's group. And you were expecting to get some pretty good development from him going from year one to year two. And you needed it. You needed him to be better. But I think if they went out and signed a George Fant, which I have been talking about them needing to do before the MPF stuff came out, and now they really, really need to do it, I think you'd be fine. I think you can get by for six games with George Fant at right tackle. Like, I don't think – I mean, that's going to be the reason that you lose, you know, a whole bunch of games or anything like that. So I don't know that it materially changes the season. Hassan Haskins definitely doesn't. So I don't know that it changes anything for me.
But do you feel like it's like bad luck is coming? Like, do you think that this is more bad luck that's coming on now? Maybe they're going to be completely healthy, but everybody got suspended. Like crazy like that. Everybody's healthy, but they're all healthy at home because they got suspended for something crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't necessarily see it as like a harbinger of doom or anything like that. I just see it as kind of hey, this is a couple of crappy things that happened right in a row here. And you know, Vrabel probably sitting there going, right, yeah, I told him this is the most fucking important 6 weeks of the whole year, and here we go. We got Hassan Haskins out here acting a fool and MPF getting suspended, and you know, if there's something else bad that's about to happen, then you know, whatever it is. I don't know. I don't think it's a harbinger of doom. Of course, I always thought they were kind of doomed anyway. So doesn't really change where I'm at on them.
Yeah, it doesn't really change. I want to talk about the George Fant thing because I think everybody's jumped a little too quick about who's out in free agency. Because if we've seen anything about this team, is that they are going to give opportunity to the guys on the team first and foremost. So that it could be 2 or 3 weeks into training camp before we see a signing. How do you feel about that thought process?
I think if you're going to, unless you are really confident, because I think the best in-house option is probably Daniel Brunskill moves to right tackle and you play either Jordan Roos or Corey Levin at right guard, which I'm not crazy about it, but could you get by? Maybe. But the problem is, if you have one more injury, like say one of these guys that you've now shoehorned into the starting lineup goes down in the first 6 weeks, you're fucked. Like, you're just fucked. Like, you've got nobody to play tackle on the roster. Like, what are you going to put in Andrew Rupsich or Jalen Duncan, which a lot of people, and maybe it's just that he was a relatively popular pick when he was made. A lot of people are saying, like, they're like, play Jalen Duncan. Go ahead and put him in there right now. I think it would be a total disaster. I just do. I don't think he's going to be a guy that is ready to play and play well.
That's a lot of work that needs to be done to get him ready to play a starting premium position in 2023.
And to ask him to flip sides to a position that he's never played before. Like, yeah. I get, like, he's
athletic, and maybe he's better at right tackle. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, maybe he's one of these guys that can, like, flip that, like, side of their brain or whatever.
You're talking about a miracle working coaching staff to get a six-round rookie to play his unnatural position by the time that season starts and to be as good as what could be other possible combinations seems like a tall order. I'm with you. I know that Jalen Duncan, this is how the thought process goes. Oh, Jalen Duncan's offensive lineman. He played left tackle. Surely he could play right tackle. But the problem is that he hasn't been playing with the ones. He's been playing with the threes in training camp because that's where a six-round tackle is going to play.
Like, and by the way, a guy who gave up a ton of sacks at Maryland last year as a like fourth-year starter. I mean, it's not like he came in just like playing out of his mind. You know, he's got some work to do. He's got a lot of technique stuff to clean up. He is a good athlete. I think there's some projectable upside with him, but it is not – he is not like a plug-and-play guy like Skoronski, who you expect to go play right away because he played great every single year he was in college, especially last year. You know, it's just a totally different guy.
I want to talk about real quick. There's the Bomani Jones show or the Bomani Jones experience, which nobody watched, apparently got canceled. I am not surprised it got canceled because the clips that I've seen of the show or articles I've seen written about the show say that it was a pretty bad show. I mean, altogether. I mean, these are just objective people reviewing a show. So I'm not surprised because people were surprised it didn't get shut down after the first season. It could not get ratings. But not saying that this is a smart show, but we've talked about it on the show numerous times. About the state of media, not the state of people that do media, but the state of how people consume it and the process of delivering that to the consumer. So I want to make that distinction because, you know, I name off, you know, A to Z, Titans Wire, Titans Size, Music City Miracles, you know, the stuff that kind of regurgitate, they'll all get the same story and pretty much all write the same story. Now, they have writers there that provide very good in-depth analysis or great player interviews. That's not the only stuff they do. If I have to spell that out for you, that's for you guys. But a lot of the stuff they write is to drive clicks because they get paid in a way, and kudos to them for getting these jobs and getting paid a lot of money. I'm not downing anybody for hustling within the system, right? Like, I am more upset at the way that this system was created and derived that limits these talented writers, that prevents them because they want clickbaity stuff because that's where the audience has gone to. And Deadspin today puts out this really great article, which I should have sent to my computer, but it's on my phone. And it's talking about something that Dan Le Batard has said on his show a couple of times, that embrace debate has destroyed sports television. And it uses Bomani Jones as a launching point, but it's really more about the embrace debate, the clickbaity headlines or the you know, articles about, you know, Patrick Mahomes was seen at the front row of, you know, the ballet this weekend. What does that mean? You know, those kinds of articles.
Yeah.
And we're not in an embrace debate show. We debate, but it's very organic. So we don't come in trying to stir up debate or find debate, because our main goal has always been to educate and entertain.
Yeah.
Do we have Around the Horn and PTI to blame for this? Because I would tune in all the time for Around the Horn. Now, I will say this, Around the Horn is still really, really fun to watch if they get the right people on there.
Yeah.
But it's always been that way. And then PTI kind of started it and it became really popular. But a show like Outside the Lines that was really good, that I really enjoyed, you know, growing up, that wouldn't thrive today. I think Scott Van Pelt's the closest thing you're going to get to what Outside the Lines is and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So,
and his is like boiled down to like a smaller thing now.
Yeah. How doomed is sports media? Is it more doomed than a 2023 Titans season?
I mean, look, it's doomed from a certain degree, because I am convinced, and I've been convinced of this for a while now, because I really became crystal clear when I was writing for Music City Miracles, because it was I could see the click act, like the click data in real time for all the articles on the site. You could write the most thorough, insightful, analysis piece, or statistical analysis, or tape analysis, or whatever you want to do. You could spend hours and hours and hours combing through data, finding clips, putting together like a really detailed thing that was giving the reader something to learn and something to like really sink their teeth into. And you could write that, and then you could turn around and write something that takes you 30 seconds to put together that's like, hey, this report about or somebody mentioned Kareem Hunt is an option to replace Hassan Haskins, and I'm going to write an article about that and say, what do you think? Do you think they should do it? Literally putting zero brain power into it, zero thought whatsoever, posted to the site. The Kareem Hunt article would have like 10,000 page views, and the other article would have like 1,000. Like, it would be like 10 to 1. Like, it just, people want the shiny object. They want the little snack, snackable content. And it's zero, it's empty calories. It's, zero, actual substance. But it's just people want to see like the names that they recognize attached to their team.
Oh, yeah.
They
Burks got married over the weekend. And I bet those tweets of, I know Titan Stats, he's a big guy that stalks them on social media, puts up their pictures all the time.
Love you.
I'm sure that blew up. Like, I'm sure that tweet blew up. And then you see people write about it. Oh, the Titans fans got good news over the weekend. Did we? I mean, we don't know Traylon Burks or Traylon Burks' wife. Like, what do we fucking care about?
Yeah.
That's not good news. You know what good news is? This is good news. The Tennessee Titans signed DeAndre Hopkins. That's some good news.
Now, that would be good news.
Yeah. That's something. But, like, what a player does in their personal life that is good news for them, it's not necessarily good news for us. Like, how does this benefit anything for the Tennessee Titans fan base about Traylon Burks' play on the field? It doesn't. But that's just, it's just, to me, is, it's been our biggest gripe ever since we really started this show.
Yeah.
I mean, me, you, Lebowski, Keith, DJ, EJ, Dayton, all the way back to those days has always been, it's not about the authors. It's not about the writers who are supremely talented. I mean, like Sam Thalen, I think is some of the stuff that he puts out when he's not having to write other stuff is really, really great. Yeah. Sean Calderon, the stuff that he does during the draft and some of the analytics stuff that he puts in there is really good. Yeah. Stuff like that. And, you turn on the flip side and you're like, the Athletic is laying people off because nobody wants to read them. And, and it sucks. And, to me, it's more about the state of media and the way it's consumed. I just don't know. I don't know how it's ever going to get fixed. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not going to get fixed because of us, right? Well, when I say us, those of us in the media, it's only going to get fixed if consumers change their consuming habits. And correct. Until, whatever Skip Bayless and until Emmanuel Ocho quits getting ratings, because I assume the ratings for that FS1 show that he's on, where he is the, I'll say it, he's the fucking dumbest person in sports media. I am convinced he is a massive idiot. But the problem is there's not enough people to recognize that he's a massive idiot to ignore that show.
And well, until it's the consumers outrage. Change.
Yeah.
It's the outrage thing. And this is why social media is popular too. It's not because like people really want to like find news. It's because they get people hooked by like making them outraged. You put out a tweet and you say something crazy, that's gonna get way more engagement than it is if you say like, I think Hassan Haskins is pretty replaceable running back. He's an average guy. He's not good or bad, just an average player. That's not going to get any traction. That doesn't get anybody.
I don't know. There's
going to
be some people that are like, listen, I was in a reply the other day and I said that I find Adam Driver to be an inconsistent actor from movie to movie. Like some movies he's really good. Some movies he's not. Like he was rumored to play, going to be playing Mr. Fantastic. And I was like, horrible casting. And then that rumor went away and I'm like, yes. Someone apparently has created an account and spends their entire timeline searching Adam Driver, the words Adam Driver on Twitter, and will go in and argue with anybody about Adam Jarvis. Oh, so you may get one if you call Hassan Haskins average. You may have someone dedicated enough to Hassan Haskins or Michigan football or something like that to come in and argue with it. But that is only just one person.
But it is. I mean, it's until people will change, and that's what a lot of these debate shows are geared towards now, is they want those social media sound bites to create engagement, to get videos, to generate ad revenue, to generate more people being interested in watching the show. So, like, these little sound bites that people are getting off, those are intentional. Like, those are intentional. They're intended to get you pissed off. They're intended to get you, like, really passionate about it one way or another. And that's fine, but, like, just know that they are manipulating you.
Yeah.
And you are falling for it because you're addicted to outrage. Like that's how this whole thing works. And look, that's not a sport specific thing. Like that's true of like all walks of life. Anything that like, you know, you're involved in with social media, politics, whatever. People gear towards your outrage. They play on your ability to get like riled up about something, and then they present the most extreme views possible for you to consume, and that's all that anyone cares about. Because otherwise, like, there's always going to be. I'm convinced of this. There's always going to be a subsection of people, because a lot of my audience is based out of this subsection of people. So I don't want everyone to feel like I'm talking about them necessarily, because a lot of the people that watch this show, that listen to this show, that like read my writing, read your writing, they do it because they actually do want to
learn
something, be engaged, like have a different like scenario presented to them in a thoughtful way that is backed up with statistics and, you know, evidence, whatever. Though there's always going to be that subsection of people, and they're always going to find the people that do. The problem is that what you're rewarded for in media is not that. So like your biggest stars are never going to be the people that are like the most thoughtful, the most, you know, intelligent about the subject, stuff like that. It's always going to be the Stephen A. Smiths, the people who just scream nonsense, get players' names wrong half the time, but just go so extreme with their takes that they can generate all this. And that's where the money will go. And that's what drives like other people out of doing
clicks.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why. Like, I mean, I quit doing it for a while, and I, you know, who knows? Maybe I will again. I don't know, but that's why people get out of it, because there's like just not any money. You work your ass off, and you don't get rewarded for anything, because that's not what drives clicks. That's not what drives the revenue model. And then you look at these people like The Athletic, and people will say, "Well, I'm not going to pay for."
I'm not gonna pay a dollar a month. Remember what is a dollar a month? I don't know what it is now, but it's like a dollar a month. I'm not gonna pay a dollar a month for good content.
When the good content goes away, that will be the reason why, because you did not want to pay for it, and you would rather have this ad-based, ad-sponsored content that is purely based on clicks, purely based on numbers. They don't give a fuck.
Let me say something.
How interesting the article is.
We have 1,800 listeners. Roughly a show. I mean, you know, some shows are really higher, some shows are really lower. It's the summertime and all that stuff. So I like to average it out.
Yeah.
If you guys are not subscribed to paulkarski.com or stackingtheinbox.com, and then you see that me and Mike quit writing, you guys are to blame if you are not subscribed. I just want to throw that out there. You guys are to blame for that. And, you know, if, you know, that matters, right? Like,
yeah.
We are trying to bring a quality product, and yes, you may have to pay. Oh my God, heaven forbid. You could get stacked in the inbox for the price of one Taco Bell meal nowadays. I mean, Taco Bell's fucking
way expensive. Less than a Taco Bell meal. Last time I went to Taco Bell, it was like $15 and I about fell out of my car.
My parents gave me a $15 gift certificate Taco Bell for Christmas, and it was in my stocking. I was like, well, at least I'll be able to get like two cheesy gordita crunches with it. I mean, that's all. I could even feed Lauren off that.
Yeah, you can't even get a drink, you know?
It's ridiculous. Everything's more expensive than the content that we are putting out there. And, you know, I kind of feel like, not to toot our own horn, but I think our content's worth it. Like,
we put in a fucking lot more work than the Taco Bell people do.
Right. So I'm just saying that later on and down the road, people and audience members, the listeners of the show, fans of other teams, fans of other sports are going to be like, man, all these shows are kind of the same. What happened? It's almost like when Wally takes off the, you know, the all the stuff off of them, and all the people realize they're fat and they're floating down the ship and everything, and it's kind of too late. Like, and they finally get there, but they have to plant that one little plant. That's what's going to happen. You, good and quality sports content is going to slowly shrivel up because people don't want to pay $1, $4, $5, whatever it may be. But yet they're going to pay, you know, $20 for one venti mocha latte from Starbucks. Like, maybe you guys got to get your priorities in order a little bit. If you want good content, maybe you don't. Maybe you just like stuff for free and you just want this podcast to be free all the time. But guess what? We're both 37, 30. Well, you're 38 now, right?
Yeah, I'm 38. Old man.
Yeah. Yeah, because I turned 38 in a couple of weeks. We're both near 40. If you think we're going to be doing this for free forever,
no.
You got another fucking thing coming. So just make sure you guys know that.
Yeah. And look, yeah, I mean, maybe this is just a niche thing, and that is what
it is.
But yeah, I mean,
if it is a niche thing, you can sometimes turn niches into careers and get paid and all that stuff, but you know, it's got to happen quickly, people. It only happens if you guys do it.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing that I think you should do.
This has turned us into being street beggars.
Oh, exactly. we've really, you know, honed the pitch here. Here's the thing that you should do. If you don't like the outrage stuff, if you don't like the takes just for the sake of takes, if you don't like the shit where it's contrived and it's two people picking sides beforehand and like designing debates, you know, the whole embrace debate thing. If you don't like that, stop fucking listening to it. Stop fucking engaging with it. Don't watch it. Don't retweet it. Don't get in their comments and call them fucking idiots. Ignore them. Completely ignore them, block them on social media, whatever you have to do to turn off the outrage response in your lizard brain. Do that, because that's the only way that those will go away and you'll get more good content, because the ad people are going to pay wherever the readers go, like wherever the people go, wherever the listeners go. So if you don't want them to go to the stupid shit, stop engaging with the stupid shit and stop telling them they're dumb. Even they don't care what kind of engagement they get, as long as they get engagement. Ignore. Just turn it off. Turn off the TV. Don't do any of that shit. Just ignore them.
Bama Bragg goes, why don't you guys start your own site together? So we did. It's called Broadway Sports Media, and we both left it for various other reasons other than our unhappiness with it.
Sure.
But we wanted to, I think, get paid. Because we weren't making any money doing it.
Yeah.
And we wanted to bet on ourselves in own separate ways. And before I came up with the idea of Stacking Inbox, he had already joined up with PK, the enemy. But hey, it's working out good for him.
Hey, we love PK.
But, I mean, we did try it, and it has not generated the revenue it has. And I was like, if I'm going to put out the Titans content that I want to put out, I need to make money.
Yeah.
And that's why we keep the podcast for free technically, but I need to make some money, and I gave myself a year to do it. And so we're in the midst of that year to try and make some money and produce content. And, you know, I don't know, it'd be like, get Titans articles every day at stackingtheinbox.com. Don't know where else you're getting that right now.
Yeah, it's great stuff, and it's consistent. I mean, like, yeah, it's hard to produce.
I miss
content
a day here and there,
year.
But it's you know, it's because of, you know, deaths in the family, weddings to attend. So I missed a couple Thursdays here and there.
Hey, but when you're a one man band, it's really hard because look, we do have lives outside of doing the podcast and writing and like, you know, careers and families and all this other stuff. So. It's a lot.
I spent most of my July 4th on the phone with the realtor selling a piece of property, and it sold.
Hey,
but I mean, that's how I spent my holiday. So I was just kind of like, you know, thankful that Trey writes on Wednesdays.
Yeah, exactly.
So this now is going to carry us over to a totally different topic that has nothing to do with this, but kind of situated within the realm of media. So last week I was talking about accounts that talk about Chig Okonkwo being a underrated player and you better draft him, or you better do this or you better do that. And I said, everybody kind of knows about Chig Okonkwo. Now, from a national perspective, Chig Okonkwo is getting a lot of play. So maybe this is a bad example, but I've seen people say that Kevin Byard is the most underrated player on the Tennessee Titans. Now, this is local media. Danico Autry is the most underrated player on the Tennessee Titans. You know, and I want to come out and kind of change the conversation. I think the qualifier should be, even though you're talking to a local audience that is strictly listening to you for the Tennessee Titans, the conversation needs to be in the national media.
Correct.
That maybe Danico Autry is undervalued or Kevin Byard is undervalued, even though he has all pros to his name and all that stuff. Maybe he should have more all pros, but there's a couple suspect seasons in there. So I guess where I'm getting at is that when we are producing content at a local level in a niche team, I mean, the Tennessee Titans and Nashville Predators or whatever have you, the Nashville sports media scene, I don't think that you could just say, man, Chig is highly underrated, is a highly underrated Titans player heading into 2023 without some qualifiers.
Right.
Because I don't think he's highly underrated to the fan base you're talking to, right? Your audience that you're talking to, and this could be about any player or overrated players, but the fan base you're talking to knows exactly what you're saying. Because they're probably thinking, I don't think he's that underrated, or I rate him perfectly, or this or that. I mean,
yeah, I think he's great. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess I get to the point where it's like, I think we need to change the conversation or expand on the conversation and provide context or nuance. Cause I know that's lost on sports media, like we were just kind of talking about, but I feel like there needs to be a little bit of conversation like that.
There's definitely a local versus national angle to it, because I think you could say Danico Autry is probably like underrated nationally, but he might even be overrated locally. Cause like locally people are like ready to put
Mike Herndon hates Danico Autry. Fame,
you know, like he's a very good player. I think he's very, very good. But yeah, you can't say a negative word about Danico Autry around a Titans fan without a Titans fan going nuts. So I definitely think there's a split. And look, you want to know who the most underrated player on the Titans is locally? As far as for the local fans, Ryan Tannehill, he's the fucking easily most underrated player on this team among its own fans. So, it's definitely different perspectives because, the local versus national thing is often starkly different. Like, and that's why, I always think it's good, like, when you get a player from another team, and this isn't 100% hit rate, but a lot of times if you go to the other team's fans or the other team's media and ask them like, hey, what did you think of this guy? They'll give you a better answer than like what anyone nationally will, like as far as like a national analyst, because they actually have watched this guy day in and day out, pay attention to the ins and outs of what he does. I think it's totally a great point. And it is two totally different conversations, whether you're talking about an underrated or overrated player relative to who, because it is not universal.
Yeah, because I don't think anybody in this fan base, and really nobody national, is technically sleeping on Kevin Byard or Chig Okonkwo, or I guess you could say some people sleep on Derrick Henry, but that's the nature of the running back business, I guess. I just don't feel like, if you want to say someone that's probably flying a little underrated due to fantasy, okay, I would say probably Treylon Burks is that guy. I think Treylon Burks would be underrated, but I don't think he's very underrated among the Titans fan base. I think it's all about addressing your audience and taking the audience demographic into account. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm obviously, I got, tons of followers, not to brag, not like you, and you have national people that follow you, but I know that my followers are Tennessee Titans fans. So I'm not going to get out there and say, I think my most underrated Titans player is, I think the most underrated one is Derrick Henry, because then everybody's just going to agree with you. Like, it's not duh. I mean, like, yeah, you think he's underrated? No, he's like, that doesn't make sense. Like, to me, it's just, it's about trying to get to the core of the discussion. And if you can't do that without putting it to contest, whether it's a national or local discussion, because I mean, that is the key to this kind of most overrated, underrated kind of deal. Like you said, Danico Autry, underrated among the nationals, right? Now, I do see there's some analytic people, I think it's Brandon Thorne did the True Pass Success, TPS, I think is what it's called. And he's very high on that. So is Jeffrey Simmons, by the way. So is Arden Key, by the way, which is really good. But he's not underrated here among the fan base. It's like David Long, a lot of people said he's the most underrated Titan, but I don't think he was in this fan base, but he was nationally, right? Yeah. Like he was nationally, even though he was gaining a lot of notoriety towards the before he got injured last
year. Towards the end last year, he was starting like people, the Athletic Football Show was like calling him a top five linebacker in the NFL and stuff like that. So yeah, it definitely, and it changes quickly. Like it just takes a couple people like that getting on board, and then you'll see other people go, oh, I guess that guy is pretty good, you know? So
yeah.
Definitely two different conversations.
So with that being said, you get national and local. You can't say DeNico Autry because we already said it. Who's the most overrated and underrated, both locally and nationally, for each category?
All right. So I'm gonna stick with Tannehill as my answer for most underrated locally. Overrated locally. Jeez. I'm tempted. This one's tough because it's, you know, people are going to get pissed about it. I'm tempted to say Chig, honestly.
Oh.
Like, I think Chig is good, but a lot of people are, I mean, they're like Chig revolutionaries. Like he's going to be a top, like, two or three tight end in the league next year kind of thing, I feel like. I think locally he may be a bit overrated.
I like it. What about you? I think underrated. I think I'm going to say underrated is Kyle Phillips. I think he's totally underrated by this fan base because of two muffed punts, which are technically not his job, by the way. I mean, like, not the core of his existence is to be a returner. It is his job to catch punts if he's asked to catch punts, but. And then I think because he got injured, everybody's just like, you know, it's just Treylon Burks and Chig. Like, I think Kyle Phillips has a real chance to feast in this offense. And I think the most overrated by this fan base, Kevin Byard. I think Kevin Byard is, I think this fan base.
If
Kevin Byard came out and said that he supports Putin, and he's going to defect to Russia, but he's still going to play for the Tennessee Titans. You'd have people putting Russian flags out and on top of their cars and stuff. Because I think they only love whatever Kevin Byard says. And that's not a knock on Kevin Byard. He's earned that. But there are some suspect seasons with Kevin Byard, for sure. Yeah. And I think, I do think that Bama Brad's onto something, but I think this is more of a media thing. I think Harold Landry has been supremely overrated his entire career.
So I was actually going to say Harold Landry is underrated nationally.
Oh, you love, well,
I think nationally, love people Harold don't Landry. Even, but people don't even mention Harold Landry. I mean, like, Harold Landry is such an afterthought nationally on this Titans team. And to me, he was one of the better players on a really good defense in 2021 before obviously missing last season with the injury. So I think nationally, I would put him in the way underrated standpoint. Do you think there's anybody on the team that is overrated nationally?
Oh my gosh.
The only one I can think of is Derrick Henry. And I'm not even sure I fully believe that he's overrated.
I mean,
nationally.
I guess if you were going to say that someone was overrated by national standards,
it's rare for this team.
Oh man, it is totally rare. I would have said LaJuan if he was still on the team.
Yeah.
He would have been a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I can't think of someone that's overrated. Well,
people are not high on this team right now. So
I guess the closest that could really reach that level is Jeffrey Simmons, but I don't think that he's, in fact, I almost wanted to put him in the underrated category.
Yeah, same
nationally. Man, that's really hard. So no, I mean, I guess there isn't anybody that's overrated on this team from a national standpoint.
Yeah, I think Henry's the closest just because of fantasy football and stuff like that. But I still think Henry's really good, and I don't think he's
– And most people
– I don't think,
like,
it's egregious.
You had Keyshawn Johnson the other day, not even put him in the top five running backs, but put Aaron Jones in the top five.
It's,
you know,
it's not
how much he actually believes that or not, we don't know.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good question. That's a really apt way to describe this team is that there isn't a player that is reaching the levels of notoriety that you could be considered overrated by national standards.
If they almost all fall under underrated. If they sign DeAndre Hopkins immediately, he goes to the top of the list.
Yeah, he's the most overrated player on this team. Any thoughts from your vacation that maybe we didn't cover that you want to hit on? Anything that was in your mentions or replies that you came back to and you were like, man, I just need to go back to the beach?
Okay. Well, the one that did make me almost just want to like retire and stay on the beach was in the response to the Hassan Haskins news, someone going, we need to sign Ezekiel Elliott right now. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, to do what? To play special teams? Like, you roll him down the field on punt coverage or something like that? Like, Jesus Christ. That was probably the worst thing I saw while I was on vacation.
Yeah, that is crazy. Well, that will do it for us. Football and Other F-Words, we're sponsored by Bluegrass Beverages. Been around since 1973 in Hendersonville. They just recently remodeled. You guys got to go over there. Check it out. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff down the pipeline with I believe their 30th anniversary is sometime this year. So I think they're going to be having a 30th anniversary like parking lot shindig that everybody will be out to. And I believe that, I don't know if it's all three of us talking about you, me, and Braden, or just me and Braden, or maybe it's just me, I don't know. We'll be there live doing a show. So I know that's coming down the pipeline at some point. There's going to be food trucks out there and everything. So the way to figure that out, besides listening to the show and subscribing and rating and reviewing, is to head over to bluegrassbeverages.com and join their BOB, Best of Bluegrass Club, to get on the list, to get to know all the exclusive stuff that is coming down the pipeline that only they will be able to provide in the area. Bluegrassbeverages.com. He's Mike Kernan. You can read all of his excellent non-free articles, as they should be, because people should get paid for what they're good at, over at paulkarski.com. So go over there and subscribe. You can read all of my non-free paid articles over at stackingtheinbox.com. We got a lot of cool stuff. We have different levels of subscription. So go over there, stackingtheinbox.com. Follow him on Twitter, Mike Kernan, at Mike Kernan NFL. You can follow me on Twitter at FWordsPod. And this has been Football and Other F-Words, and you have just been F'd.